Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. As I sit here and watch Bob Costas on ESPN SportsCenter, an interview with Tom Brokaw in 1994, surrounding the O.J. Simpson, the white Bronco, Chase, June of 1994. You'll hear from Bob Costas. He was on our show. You'll hear from him a little bit later in the program today. By the way, rocknashville.com is your community resource page. You can check it out for information around town, including Nashville's Good to Go initiatives, CDC updates, ways to donate to Second Harvest Food Bank of Middle Tennessee to help support their mission of feeding hungry people, as well as other ways to help the Middle Tennessee community. That's rocknashville.com. Rocknashville.com. Was that really June? What is today?
It's June 17th.
That's what it was. Today is the anniversary.
There was a, remember the 30 for 30? June 17th, 1994? All the things that were going on that day?
26 years ago. Wow. It's hard to believe.
The O.J. Chase, the World Cup in the United States, the NBA Finals, as we all know, we were watching the split screen of the Bronco on one side and the Knicks and the Rockets on the other side. The Rangers winning the Stanley Cup for the first time in 54 years. That game actually was on NHL Network the other day, that clincher. So I got a chance to watch that, at least part of it. I was in St. Catharines, Ontario. I remember exactly, in our woeful clubhouse. I mean, it was cinder blocks and nails on the wall to hang up your stuff and wooden cubicles, I guess you could call it.
Are you saying it did not look like the NBA bubble that they're projecting in Orlando?
Not quite. No, no. The vision of the NBA bubble is quite a different vision from the St. Catharines Blue Jays clubhouse. But we were watching on a very small TV, but man, we were huddled around that thing watching just like everybody was who had a TV on at that time. Can you, I mean, that was so surreal where you're actually trying to watch the NBA finals, but also like, oh my gosh, what is happening with O.J.? This is amazing.
It was. I mean, I just think about, and I know we've talked about this before, but if that was today, I mean, just think 26 years ago how different it was. But what if that was today? With social media and the channels, oh my gosh. You think about how big it was then. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't have been any bigger today. I have to believe it would be. Because we didn't have all the channels. We didn't have all the distractions. There was only, you know, basically if you turn on the television, that's what you it was easy to find. It was, Willie just went through the list of, that's what you were going to find on television. I don't know. That's actually, that would be an interesting study to find out. Would it be any bigger today? Willie, how would you answer that? Be bigger today or just as big today as it was 26 years ago?
It's hard to know if it could have been bigger because that's
about the way
as big
I feel.
That was a stop what you're doing. Like it just was everything came back to that. Now what you would have had is, can you imagine some of the tweets that would have been going on real time?
You would have had
and
a ton of videos of a white Bronco
trying to report stuff. You know, you're listening to the newscast, right? And you're hearing, well, you know, all the police are, you know, going to OJ's house and they're waiting for him there, or Al Cowlings is in the back seat. You know, you're getting all of these little tidbits when you're watching the news coverage of it. But can you imagine what other pieces
driving
of information might have been coming in, right? Oh, yeah, OJ's in the back, Al is driving. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. So all of those details that you're learning in real time little by little. But I wonder what else people would have come up with, like cell phone cameras of the Bronco going down the street. You know, you would have had different perspectives on it, for sure. I don't know if it would have been any larger than life than it was, but you definitely would have had different levels and different angles.
Yeah, I just think back, you know, then, I don't know how, I just remember how big it was. I can't imagine that it would be any bigger, even though we've got more platforms. I just don't know how you could get any bigger than what that was 26 years ago. I mean, if you're old enough to remember, I know, Chase, you were probably looking for a good kickball game to play during all this.
But I remember my dad watching it, my parents watching it on TV, and I didn't understand what it meant, what it was. but I remember video of the white Bronco.
I mean, you were probably out riding a bike. Did you ride bikes when you ride a bike when you were a kid?
I did. I knew how, and I did.
Did you ever wreck?
A couple times, yes. Yep. I learned the hard way that you can't run over a rock, that you need to go around the rock.
Did you ever do ramps? See, that's where I always had my wrecks. We thought we were cool jumping ramps.
So there was where my grandmother lived, the complex she lived in, there were these drainage ditches that you could ride. They were cool to ride in because they were slanted, and so you could pick up speed, and it was concrete, and so we would go ride through the ditches, and there were a couple that were kind of steep and had some issues on those a time or two.
Yeah.
Got a little too much speed and then didn't stop.
I was a really good bike rider, but when I started getting frisky is usually when bad things happened.
Yeah, and I'm sure, I don't know if you guys did this, but we would put the playing cards in the spokes to make it sound like a motorcycle.
I always had the license plates. Remember the honeycombs used to have the license plates? Alphabets and honeycombs, Willie? The states, and I would always try to collect all the states, and I would hang a license plate on my bike. I'd find a way to, you know, tape however I put it on there. And that would
now
be
that
a different
is a
state.
Phenomenon that I have not thought about in a long time, but that is flashing me back, and that is the prize in
the cereal
box.
Is that still a thing?
I don't think so.
Do they still do that?
Do they do that? That
I don't know. I have
such
no
a
idea.
Huge lure.
Oh,
and I remember that. You know, okay, how many times did you do this, Darren? This is another thing. Remember the whole theme that we had a few weeks ago of stuff that a certain generation cannot comprehend? They just have no scope of what that was like. But I remember if I was fortunate enough to get my mom to buy that kind of cereal or whatever it was that had a prize in there, I couldn't wait till you ate all the cereal, right? You open the thing and
you started
slide
digging.
Your hand
yes.
all the way
of
digging
course.
Down into the Raisin Bran or the
yes.
honeycombs.
Yep.
And you're getting your grubby hand all over it until you find that thing. You hit pay dirt, and you scoop it up, and the cereal comes flying out. It goes on the floor. But then you try to argue with your brother who gets the prize.
By the way, Raisin Bran never had cool prizes. They didn't have prizes.
No.
Come on.
No, they didn't.
They had it. They had something. It
probably not
Raisin cool.
Bran. It was always the cool cereal. Fruit Loops and Alphabets and Honeycombs and
Honeycombs.
I forgot what cereal
Honeycombs
it was.
Honeycombs was pretty good.
Those Honeycombs had great prizes. That's what I remember was the light. They had great prizes.
Who was it? And I mean, this could have just been my time, but like I remember there was one cereal that had like a spy ring, and it was basically like a ring you wore that had a magnifying glass on it. And I can't remember what cereal it was, but I wanted one of those things so bad and finally got whatever cereal it was and got the prize and then was just thoroughly disappointed.
Well, Willie was right. Like, you never – like, I didn't even pour one bowl. Like, at the minute we got home, I'm digging for the prize. Like,
yeah.
Forget eating any of it yet. Like, I wanted the prize immediately. Like, you could – sometimes they were – you remember, Willie, sometimes they were on the outside, which was the best. Like, they didn't actually even put it inside the plastic and in the cereal. They would put it on the outside of the plastic. It's like, oh, this is the gravy train. All you have to do is just stick your hand down there and pull it out. It's great.
Didn't have to work for it.
Didn't even have to work for it. This is fantastic. But most of them were inside the plastic down at the bottom, and you'd have to dig or sometimes maybe even pour some out to eventually pour right back in.
Or you take the whole plastic case out of the cardboard cereal box.
Yes.
And you can eyeball it and see,
and
okay,
see
where
it is. Yep.
And then you slide it. And then, of course, you have to eat the cereal and eat all of the crumbled pieces, honeycombs or whatever, that you broke, you know, sliding your hand down in there.
And you were always motivated to get through that box, even though you already had dug out the prize because you wanted to get to the next box, right? You wanted to tell your parents, like, hey, I need more cereal.
I wanted certain cereals where it was so addicting, I could eat literally almost the entire box. Between me and my brother, we could kill a box
in
one sitting.
I'm with you. I was a big cereal eater. I could just sit there and eat.
I was too.
I could eat it for meals. I mean, that would be I would be more than happy. Dinner, what do you want? Cereal. Okay. I'm cool with that. I'll eat cereal for dinner. Here's another lost art. I don't know if they still do this anymore.
I have a cereal question, too, after this.
Okay. Remember leaving the grocery store, like they always had it set up right at the exit. All the like gumball machines, the little miniature helmets, all the stuff you needed quarters for, nickels, dimes, and quarters, mainly quarters for the good stuff. And you always had to get something out of those machines. Do they still do that? I've never really paid attention. Is that all gone? Do they even still have those machines? You know, gumball machines, helmets, whatever, stickers.
I think so.
At grocery stores.
But to be honest with you,
the green
I haven't thought about that.
The silly slime.
Yeah, the green slime.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I haven't thought about that in so long that I don't even know. You know, I don't even look for them.
Little Tupperware before Tupperware, the little plastic case that you get with the lid on it that had the helmet in there or the green slime or whatever.
The plastic
bubble. Open up the top.
Usually had the helmet, you know, the helmet in there. Because I used to always
the helmet. I was a sucker for the helmet.
I was a huge sucker for the helmet. You know, and I would be so mad when I get a duplicate. Like I've already got the Steelers. I needed the Browns. You know, I mean, I was always trying to collect all the teams. And you would get so mad when you kept getting the same ones.
And you would also try to eye. Okay, let's see what's at the bottom. What do you think is going to drop through here? But you couldn't see always what you were going to get, but you were thinking, okay, it looks like that one right there, the Steelers. I need the Steelers. That's on the top. That's on the bottom of the pile. Let's go for it.
Right. You're maneuvering to try to get that Eagles helmet or whatever you need. It's like, oh, I think it's right there. I think it's by the slot. I think this is good. And then it comes down, it's the Vikings. You're like, come on. I've already got the Vikings.
Yeah, and then you always had to reach in and put your hand up as far into the case as you could just to hope that one extra piece of gum or one extra thing would fall out. You get a bonus.
Hey, every once in a while that did happen.
It did. All it's got to do is happen once, and then you got to check every time.
Or how about the best? Somebody, for whatever reason, left it. You realize you open up the little slot, and you're like, oh, there's one already in here.
The metal thing that covers
the hole. Yes,
you
the had metal
to
cover.
You had to lift it up just to see if there was anything under there.
You
sure.
Always checked.
I don't know if they still have those. I haven't noticed at the places I go, but I actually haven't been looking for it.
I'll look for it now.
Okay, we're going to look for it.
The next time I'm in the store, I'll probably be in.
Are they still out there?
I'll be in one, you know, this for sure. In the next 4 days, for sure. Yes. I'm going to definitely check.
By the way, you want to talk about some bad gum.
Bad.
The gum balls, those are not. Oh. The flavor didn't last very long in those things. That was not the caliber of gum you're looking for.
I don't know if you guys did, but I would get like four of them. And, you know, you just pack them all in to try and get, you know, you chew one and then you put another one in to get more flavor and more flavor. And finally, you just have a mouthful and you can't. You know, you can barely move your mouth anymore.
Oh, yeah. You can't put them in your pocket. You have to chew all of them immediately.
Yeah.
Well, the worst gum we know is the ones that were in cards. That was truly the worst. Oh. The stick was
cardboard.
The worst. Yeah. Just, it would disintegrate in, what, 10 minutes in your mouth? It just would just be like, bleh. You couldn't even chew it anymore. That was the worst gum. I don't even know should we even consider that gum? I guess because you could chew on it for 5 to 10 minutes.
I think it was better than the gum in the gumball machine, though.
Yeah, really? Oh,
I think so.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It was more fortified. The flavor would last longer.
The bubble gum machine or the bubble gum was hard. I do.
Hard
when
and
you chew,
stale.
It would hurt. It would hurt your jaw if you chewed on it very long.
And the
flavor especially
didn't
if you
last
had a couple,
at all.
No. No, it's like they were all colored gumballs, but they all tasted the same, right? There really was no flavoring.
None.
We'll have to check. That'll be an experiment, Chase, that we'll have to check on at the grocery store because there'll be grocery store runs for sure. All right, we will come back and discuss what we were supposed to discuss, the landscape of the AFC. We did get a little sidetracked. We'll do that. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Ohio governor saying highly unlikely fans at the Hall of Fame game in Canton this year in early August. The game is supposed to be the Steelers and the Cowboys, which would be a surefire sellout. We've attended a game there But at Ohio Governor Mike DeWine saying fans at the Hall of Fame game, highly unlikely that they'll be in attendance. And like I said, for that game, that's a shame because Steelers-Cowboys would be a tough ticket for that for sure. But that does not look good for fans in the stands. So what will, and we talked about this a little bit with Jeremy Fowler, like how do we think this is going to play out on the NFL side, fans in the stands? How do you think they're going to approach this season? Anybody have a good guess? Because that's what we're doing.
Well, I still think in some places you're going to have some fans. I mean, we're seeing in our state, you know, in July, they hope to have 30,000 fans at the Bristol Motor Speedway for NASCAR's All-Star Race. I would say that there are going to be some NFL stadiums that, you know, like Jeremy or like was brought up with Adam Rittenberg, I guess I should say, about colleges, that it's going to be up to, you know, the city governments and the state and wherever the place is. But I think you're going to see some areas that are like, yeah, you can have 25% or whatever of capacity. And I think they'll try that. Now, will that be for every game? I don't know. That's probably an even better question, is how much of the season will include fans, you know, at these stadiums. But I do think there'll be some.
That's just a little less than 20% of capacity, just under. So is that the marker? Because we kind of been thrown out in the past 25-30%. What do we think is the number of capacity, whatever the stadium, you know, should hold? Because Bristol, well, right now, that's just under 20%.
Some of that will vary. I mean, who makes that call? It may not be the league, right? It may be the states or even the county, maybe. There might be.
Yeah, that's true.
It might vary from state to state who actually can make the final call of here's the maximum or here's the minimum, whatever that is. That's a great question, though.
Yeah.
Anthony Lynn saying because the Chargers right now and the Titans are the two franchises that people are identifying, and it's ironic because I brought this up on Monday about Colin Kaepernick to the Titans as their backup quarterback. But now it's been floated out there here since that conversation that the Chargers and the Titans would be good fits for Colin Kaepernick. I do. That's the reason I brought it up Monday morning on the show. I feel like if he can play, there's still a lot of ifs. If he can, if he wants to. I mean, there's a whole lot of things in play. But if all that was worked out and he could, and people felt like he's, you know, he's been in shape, he could still play at this level, he could definitely serve as a backup. Because of the climate and where we are, the commissioner's statement, and just where we are in things, and I keep saying we've turned a corner for the good, I do believe if he can, if all this stuff checks out, he's going to be on a roster. And if that were the case, and he checks out and he can play, why not the Titans? And Chargers are obviously another one because they've got a young quarterback, and it would make sense. And out there, it would make sense, right, in California. But I do wonder if indeed we're going to see him on a roster. But, you know, I also don't have any proof that he wants to be on a roster, what his mindset is, what he's willing to agree to, his role, money. I don't know any of that. And, of course, the big one is, you know, what does he look like after all these years? Yeah, can he still play at this level? Yeah.
Yeah, I think you have to look at
it. You can't really have him in for a workout like you would under ordinary circumstances, right? And I wonder at what point could you do that?
You're going to have to at some point. Like, that's one that I don't think you can get by. I mean, if you're a team and you're going to have to tell the league, hey, you're going to have to allow us to bring him in. We have to see him, you know, with our own two eyes to make sure that he's ready. Because think about it. These are the steps you have to go through. So you got to bring him in for a workout and go through that hoop right there. Just see what he is. Then you have the decision, okay, there's something still there. We could at least bring him in for camp. So you get you agree to a contract. It's probably a one-year deal. If he's smart, he's not going to argue with you over money. So you get that figured out. You invite him into camp. Well, now he has to make the team. I mean, is what you saw better than what you currently have on your roster? Now, we've had this debate with the Titans. I think it's it would be safe to say that Colin Kaepernick probably is better than what they have right now behind Ryan Tannehill. But we don't know that for sure. He's been out for 3 years. So it'd be getting him in, having him in the training camp. But then what if he's not good enough? What if there just really isn't anything left? You've now gone through all this. You've brought in the reporters and everything that are going to be the spotlight that's going to be on you because you've brought him in for a workout and or you've signed him for training camp, but then you say, he's not going to make the team. There's going to be things that come with that too. So that's everything that a team has to consider when they're going through this process, whether it's the Titans or anyone else.
Let's talk about the attention you're going to get. I think the Titans are more than equipped to handle the attention that they would get from him being in camp, being on a roster. They're more than equipped. Mike Vrabel can handle that stuff. John Robinson can handle that stuff. I don't see them right now as an organization where you go, yeah, I don't know if they're, you know, if they're able to handle all the attention. Do you guys agree with that or disagree?
I think they're equipped, and we discussed this a couple years ago when, because a few years ago, let's be honest, and the Titans certainly weren't the only team, but they sort of, you know, they dodged the question. They did not entertain it. They were working guys out. Remember the week that Marcus Mariota pulled his hamstring against Houston, and this was 2017 when they did make the playoffs. Mike Mularkey was the coach. John Robinson was his first year as the GM, and they had on the roster the person they knew was going to start, right, against Miami. They were getting ready to play the Miami Dolphins down there, and they knew they had their starter, but Marcus Mariota was not going to be able to play in that game, so they were trying out quarterbacks. That's when it came up, to, in my best recollection, right? Do you guys remember that
yes,
time?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. And they obviously didn't bring him in, and they were bringing in these guys, and we were reading off the names of the players. I don't remember who they signed. They signed somebody, didn't they? Just to have another body there? Because Marcus could not back up that game. And remember, he played hurt the next few weeks, and he did an admirable job.
Was that Brandon Whedon?
They won some games.
Was that when they signed him?
It might have been Brandon Whedon.
It may have been. That may be right.
And so it seems kind of ridiculous that you would not have thought at the time Colin Kaepernick was a more talented quarterback than the guys they brought in. And, of course, you're like, hey, this is only for a week. Do you want to have, going back to your question, right, the attention that's going to come with this if you were to sign him, right? And that was clearly a motivation. They didn't want to have that for what they thought was going to be a short-term thing, and it was. But all that to say, I think there would be a lot of attention. But as I said back then, I think over time, there's only so many days you can ask about the same thing. At some point, there's going to be a little normalcy once he's there for a while, and it's going to be about him doing his job playing football. And, of course, there will be all the other, hopefully, positive things that are going on in terms of what the entire league is trying to do to forward the cause. Right? But so I think they would be equipped to handle it for sure. There'd be a lot of attention early on, and then I think he would settle into the backup role, and then it would be a big story if he all of a sudden got a chance to play due to injury or something like that.
Chase was right. It was Brandon Whedon.
Mm. Pulled that one out of thin air.
That's better than saying something else.
Something else.
Thank you.
With the attention part, yeah, I think the team is equipped to handle it, but the thing that you're just, any team is going to have to deal with, because I've already seen comments, you know, the question was put out there, if you're the Titans, would you consider Kaepernick? And you have the people that immediately go, if they sign him, I'm done. I'm not going to be a fan of the Titans anymore. I'm moving on.
The climate was not conducive, right? There was just too much fear of signing him. What would the backlash be?
That's people's reaction. No, I'm telling you.
Really?
This is a tweet that was put out yesterday of if the Titans were to sign him, and you still have people saying, no, I'd be done. My allegiances would be cut.
I have to believe that is much, much less than 3 years ago.
Probably, but there are still those people that hold on to that. And I read those comments and I shake my head and go, number one, no, you won't. You'll say that now, but you won't. You'll eventually come around to it. But this is where we just have to change, you know, just kind of change the mindset. You have to give somebody a chance, and I believe, you know, whenever he speaks and you know, if he does get signed, I mean, he'll probably say, yeah, there's some things that I could have handled differently. I mean, they're just that you learn, that's what happens, and you can change your mind. But I think that's the biggest thing that any team would have to deal with is that. The Titans, from a PR standpoint of the extra attention they're going to get, yeah, I think they're ready for that. And they would be able to, you know, you'd have Mike Vrabel standing up there going, yeah, he's coming in to compete for the backup job. Not well, saying he's the backup, just he's coming in to compete for the backup job.
Right, that would be interesting, the competing for the backup job, because I'm always blanking on his name. Who's the guy that they like that was there all throughout the preseason?
Logan Woodside.
Yeah, we can't forget that there is.
Well, you did. You did just forget.
I did. But Logan Woodside, I mean, they do believe that he deserves a chance, right? Somewhere, somebody had to give Kurt Warner a chance.
That was
right?
Great timing.
I didn't know who
What's
Kurt
that guy's
Warner
name?
Was.
We can't forget him. What's that guy's name?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
You know, remember, we cannot forget about him. Who's the backup
Woodard.
Again?
Let's just hope John Robinson
Woodard,
doesn't think that way.
Wesley Woodard. No, that's not it.
Logan Woodside. Okay.
And Cole McDonald.
So he deserves a shot,
him.
Right?
Great
you got to give him a chance. Somebody had to give Kurt Warner a chance, et cetera. So that's
did
part
you
of
just
it.
Compare Logan Woodside to Kurt Warner?
I think he did.
I'm just saying, did anybody know who Kurt – had you ever heard of Kurt Warner when Dick Vermeil said, well, we're going to be all right, Trent Green is hurt, but we've got Kurt Warner? Didn't you laugh? It's like, Kurt Warner?
Yeah,
who's
I heard
Kurt
of,
Warner? You
I
might as well say Logan Woodside, right?
I heard of him at the Georgia Dome. Had to go there. Didn't
yeah,
you?
I don't know. I'm trying to. I don't know. That's interesting because I would like to know the Rams.
Had
mindset.
You ever heard of Tony Romo when Dallas turned to Tony Romo?
Nope.
Weren't you like, who's Tony Romo? Eastern
if you
Illinois.
Followed OVC football, you would know Tony Romo.
Yeah. Well. Seriously, I mean, we do have a lot of OVC football going on. I had never heard of Tony Romo. I'd be the first to tell you.
No, there are certainly cases like that, and Logan Woodside could be.
But
in
doesn't
category,
the organization kind of let you know, like, don't they kind of let the media know, like, hey, I know you, we're high on this guy. I'm just telling you, like, they have a way, right?
Well,
of
isn't
telling,
that what the Titans have yeah. basically been doing?
Not really.
I don't think so. No, not to this level. No, I know cases where I've had people tell me, like, you got to understand, like, this cat's different. Like, I know you guys don't know right now, but you just wait. I've had that happen in the past. A coach, someone on staff or whatever, say, look, I'm just telling you, I understand nobody, you know, gets it right now. But we inside these walls, you're gonna see it for yourself. Like, there's just – you get stuff where I don't get – there's not that – there's nobody coming out and saying – hey, I'm just telling you, the Titans are saying, it may not be today, but just wait. Logan Woodside, watch out. Like, he may be the next guy. He may be the next guy after Tannehill, okay? There's none of that. I mean, usually teams are good about putting a vibe out there. And I'm not saying that I don't know how strongly one way or the other, but I have to believe the Rams – we're probably, like I said, I'd love to know. Maybe this is get Bernie Miklas back on, right, and say, did the Rams tell you guys, like, hey, look, I know Green just went down, but you just wait. Wait till you see this cat, Kurt Warner. Go back and look at the Barnstormers. Go look at their video. Wait till you see this guy. You know, I don't know what they were saying, but they had to have felt really confident where everybody's like, okay, who are the Rams going to go out and sign? They're like, we're good. And everybody's like,
good?
What? And they're like, we're good. And everybody's looking around going, are you serious? Trent Green's out for the year. What are you doing? It's a race. Are you going to make a trade? Who are you signing? No, we're good. So I don't know if that happened, if Tannehill went down, do you think the Titans would come out and say, hey, we're good? I don't know. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
But just like Rams fans would have found it hard to believe back then. I'm just saying that There have been stories like that where a team quietly has confidence. But we'll see. I think he should have to earn it. I think I would bring a veteran in, and so why not Kaepernick? I mean, I think he would have to be a candidate that would be considered if you felt like he was in good shape and there weren't we know the list. The list is the same every year of guys who have either played for a long time and are hanging on. Now, it might be a little different this year because you got guys like Cam Newton that aren't signed, right? Cam Newton's going to figure into somebody's equation at some point.
One would
right?
think. Yep. Kind of tough news because it's a local team, but on September 12th, the 31st Southern Heritage Classic was supposed to be played. Jackson State, Tennessee State. That game has unfortunately been canceled.
Yeah,
because
I saw
of coronavirus.
That right.
So I think that's officially the first college football game to be canceled. True.
You know, that is interesting because I don't know of any others that have come out like that. Like, I guess they figure playing without fans is not worthwhile, feasible, et cetera. I'd like to know more about just coming out and saying it's not going to happen. I guess too costly to hold the game if you're not – well, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
They have skipped over, I guess, the we're going to play it but without fans, or we're going to hope to have a certain percentage of fans in the stands. They just have come out and said it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Game has been canceled due to coronavirus pandemic. We'll come back. We will hear from Predators captain Roman Josi on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chris Mason and Bob Costas slated for the final hour of Darren Donick and Chase here on this Wednesday afternoon. But first, the captain, Roman Josi of the Predators, just spoke with the local media, and here's what he had to say.
Well, you guys obviously got some good news with things in terms of small group training starting up and then kind of looking at a date for July 10th with training camp resuming. With saying that, have you been back to Bridgestone since then? Are you doing any training yet in the facilities? And if not, what's your plan moving forward?
I have not yet. We have a pretty good setup right now for training here in Nashville. So we're still training there with a couple of guys, and then but our plan is going back to Bridgestone pretty soon. Obviously, it's really good news that we are able to go back and be back at the rink. So we're definitely planning on going back soon.
All right, Teresa, Caleb Beach did a punch this time, but you can go next.
Roman, as you start hearing some things about the how the NHL is planning to relaunch and seeing what the NBA's plans have been coming out, have you thought much about the concept of being quarantined to play games, and what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously they're coming out with different plans, and I think the most important thing for everyone, for the league, for us players, is the safety. And I think they're going to make sure that everybody's safe, and probably means that there will be some quarantining time in the hotel or the rink. You probably won't go anywhere else, really. You probably stay at the rink or the hotel most of the time. But I think everybody's is excited to hopefully go back and play, and whatever's the safest option, that's what we're going to have to do.
All right, Gentry Estes, you're up next. Go.
Yeah, hey, Roman. I know the NHL has said they plan to test every player every night during that tournament on site. That's a lot of tests, man. That doesn't sound like it could be a very fun thing to have to go through. What are your thoughts on that? And also, you know, some of the challenges that could also come with playing very important games.
I think it's good. I'm not an expert, but I'm assuming those tests are pretty quick now, and I think it's good that they test us every day. It just makes everything a lot safer. So I don't think it'll be that long, and it's for our safety, so I think it's definitely a good thing. And just going back to competitive games, obviously we're gonna, our first game is gonna be a real important game. It's pretty much a playoff game right away against Arizona. So it's exciting. I mean, you got a couple of weeks of training camp, and then once you start, you're playing playoffs, which is really exciting.
Next up, Brooks Bratton. Brooks, go for it now.
Hey, it's good to see you again. David Poile said a couple weeks ago, I guess, when we talked to him about just the return to play plan in general and how everything worked out, he was saying that we kind of realized that there wasn't going to be a perfect scenario for everyone, but we feel like this is about as good as we can get considering the circumstances. How do you see the way that things worked out? Did you have much say, much involvement in kind of the setup of everything, of a qualifying round leading into a playoffs? Or how do you see the situation as far as that's concerned?
No, I think it's good. I mean, they did a good job. It's not easy to come up with a perfect plan, obviously. I mean, I think like everyone else in the world, you have to adjust. And so did we. The NHL us players, we knew there's going to be some kind of adjustment, but I mean, honestly, I think it's going to be really competitive. I mean, the first round to the play in into the playoffs is going to be really competitive, and then it's just a regular playoffs. Obviously, there's no fans. There'll be a little different circumstances, but it's still the playoffs, and I think they did a pretty good job with the whole plan. And I mean, obviously, the integrity of the game was really important. And I think, like I said, they did a really good job.
All right, Mike Morreale from NHL.com. You are unmuted. Go for it.
Hey, Roman. Thanks for doing this. So two questions, if I can. How are you approaching training camp? What do you wish to accomplish individually and then as a team?
Well, I think it's just getting back as a team, getting back together and practicing together. I think right now, obviously, most guys are skating, so I think it's a good time. And even before training camp, when we go back to Bridgestone, it's a good time to work on your individual skill. It's kind of like before training camps in the summer, you always try to work on things that you probably won't have time to work on during playoffs or during training camp where it's more team-based. So I think right now is a great time to work on your skill, whatever it is, work on everything. And then once we start training camp, I think it's 3 weeks, and we got to make sure we practice as a team and get that chemistry back as quick as we can.
Justin Bradford, you're up next. Go for it.
Hey, Roman, thanks for doing this. So with the return to play plan already in place and everything, we're talking about keeping players in a bubble, and just wanted to ask if there is any concern that's been expressed to you or that you have just about being separated from family for this amount of time, or what the league plans on doing then, how important that is for just the mental health of the players as well as the physical health, but mentally just to be kind of separated there, and how everybody plans on doing that.
I mean, that's a great point. I mean, I think it's a huge part. Obviously guys with families, and wives and everything, it's, I mean, you don't want to be separated for too long, and you want to make sure that, your family is also safe, obviously. And I think they're probably talking about that right now. They're trying to figure out what the best way is. But obviously the family part is a huge part. And it's the same thing with our safety. Our family's safety has to be a priority. And I think that right now they're trying to come up with the best way so to make sure that we're safe, but also our families are safe.
Steve Langan, fire away.
Hey, Roman, hope you're doing well. Real quickly, before I get to my question, I want to clarify your answer to Kayla. So you guys who are in Nashville are actually skating right now, just not at the facility. And what was the process of you guys to decide to not open the facility but keep doing that for now?
We have a small group skating right now. And we have a, like I said, we have a really good setup right now. Just a bunch of guys skating. Everybody has a good setup with the gym, so we felt like we wanted to do that for a little longer, because it's, like I said, it's a really good setup. And then we'll have two or three weeks before training camp to go back to Bridgestone, and then obviously three weeks of training camp. So yeah, we just felt as players, it's a really good setup for us. Everybody gets to train really hard.
Okay, thanks for that. And then as far as the actual gameplay and jumping right back into essentially playoff games where you have to start fast and play well immediately, I'm curious, can you pull it all, and so many guys are in your shoes as well, from your world championship experience of oftentimes leaving the season and joining a team in the middle of a very competitive tournament and having to play well? Can you pull anything from that, and what do you pull if you can?
Yeah, I think so. It's definitely comparable. I mean, normally when you go to world championships, your season ends, and then you take a couple of days off, and then you don't, depending how far you go, and then you fly there right away, and you're in a different team playing competitive games. So I think for us, most of us have been playing together for so long, so, and we'll have a lot of time. Like, there's a couple of guys skating now. We'll definitely skate together at Bridgestone, then we'll have training camp, and I think it'll definitely take a little bit of time, but like I said, we know each other so well, and I'm sure our chemistry is going to come back really, really quick, and everybody's really excited to get back and get back to training camp. So everybody's going to work hard, and I'm not too worried about it. I'm sure we're going to get that back quick.
Eric Bachrach from the Tennessean, you're up.
Hey, Roman, I'm just curious, at the start of this, did you think at all about going back to Europe, and have you talked at all with some of your teammates that are still overseas? And do you have any idea how hectic it is for them just to try to get back here?
I thought about it a little bit, but I decided to stay here. My wife is from here, and just with the two dogs, and just the setup was pretty good for me to work out. In my garage, I built a little gym. So for me, it was I just figured I'd stay here. It was a better setup for me. But I definitely talked to the guys in Europe. They're trying to figure out what the best way is when to come back. And obviously, there's a lot of unknowns about coming back. But I think they're all trying to figure out when to come back right now.
Adam Vingan, go for it.
Hey, Roman, good to see you. About the hub cities, are there any particular things that, as a player, you're looking for about the setup in the hub cities, whether it's proximity to rinks, entertainment options? Teresa mentioned some of the things that the NBA might be doing in terms of player entertainment during, or excuse me, in between games. Are there certain things that you're looking for in the setup if this does happen, so that you're not basically playing games and just staying in your hotel room for the rest of the day?
I think, like you said, it's important that the rink and the hotels are pretty close to each other, so you can just kind of walk back and forth. But other than that, honestly, I haven't thought about that much. I mean, obviously, if it's safe, it'd be good if you can get out of a hotel once in a while and do something fun. But to be honest, I haven't thought about all that really so far.
Back to Brooks. Brooks, go for it.
Roman, this is obviously unique for so many different reasons, but the fact that you know that you're playing Arizona and you've got 2 or so months to prepare for that. Usually you've got 2 or 3 days to prepare for a series like that. One, what do you think of playing Arizona? And two, just the amount of time that you have to get ready. How do you see that?
Yeah, it's definitely a little different. I mean, talking about Arizona, obviously they're always a tough team to play against. Every time you play them in the regular season, they're very structured, very good defensively, they work really hard. So they're always tough games, always a tough team to play against. And I think it's definitely a little different to have a training camp and preparing for one team. And I think all the teams probably put a lot of emphasis during training camp to to prepare for that team. And it's definitely a little different. Normally, if you have a playoff series, you might have a couple of days or a week maximum to prepare for an opponent. So this will be a little different.
Mike Morielli has another question. Mike, go for it.
Roman, I'm curious. I'd like to get your feelings on the Calder Trophy race this season. Two young defensemen, very rare to have two defensemen lead all rookies in scoring, but Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar at the top there. Who do you think will win and why?
I don't know. That's a tough question. I mean, they're both special players. I just remember playing them for the first time, and they're unbelievable players. I mean, they're special players for their age. The way they skate, the way they play, with the confidence they play, it's a lot of fun to watch. And they both had unbelievable seasons. Honestly, I couldn't even decide. They're both unbelievable. I think they both deserve it. And like I said, they're a lot of fun to watch, and they're going to be unbelievable players in the years to come here.
Teresa Walker, back to you.
Roman, how much might the Predators benefit from having a training camp with John Hines, considering that he came in at the beginning of January? Other guys, obviously other teams will have their own camps, but can you all maybe benefit from having him and this opportunity to kind of recollect?
Yeah, definitely. I think when he came in during the season, obviously he didn't have a lot of time to practice. We were in the midst of the season playing a lot of games, so there wasn't a lot of time to practice all the new stuff for the systems and all that stuff. So a training camp will definitely be helpful. I think he can bring in his systems a little more when we got some more time to work on it.
Kayla Anderson, go for it.
Yeah, similar to Teresa, she brought up Coach Hines, and I know he spoke to 102.5 yesterday, and he mentioned you guys just going through adversity last year with everything. I guess this season still, sorry, I'm thinking ahead here. But just how much do you feel like that can help you guys once you get back together, knowing that you have kind of gone through that adversity?
It definitely helps. I mean, I think every time you go through some adversity as a team, you learn something from it. If you go through a good stretch or a bad stretch, there's always something to learn from. And I think coming back, like every team is kind of starting fresh. It's almost like a new season. And I mean, I've been talking to a lot of guys. We're definitely excited. We're motivated. Obviously, it was an up and down year, so we have a lot to prove during these playoffs. So we're all excited, and we definitely learned a lot from this year.
Gentry, back to you.
Yeah, Roman, what do you think the teams that do well in this tournament are going to do to get there? In other words, you guys are used to what the playoffs have been like in the past, but how different could this be, and what are some things that maybe you're going to need to do now that you wouldn't normally because of how odd this is?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just getting back to that playing shape really quick. Obviously, working out, you practicing, but playing games is a whole different story. So I think using this time right now to get back into that shape during training camp. And then I think it's going to be really fast. Everybody's rested. The game's going to be intense. And whoever builds that chemistry the quickest and gets back to their A game the quickest will have a really good chance.
Chris Harris.
Hey, Roman, good to see you. You anticipate, you said, being back in Bridgestone next week. Is that correct?
I don't know. We're talking about that yet right now. So we're not sure yet at what point we're going to be back.
Okay. Well, that being said, whenever you get back, kind of as a captain, and especially for the guys who may not be here in town who are training with you specifically, how much of a role will you have in making sure that as many people who can come back do come back and start these voluntary workouts as soon as possible?
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely try to take the lead a little bit, and obviously the the quicker we can all get back together, the better. And just start to skate together, start to work out together, the better. So, every time we're going to have a practice or we're going to go on the ice, I'm obviously going to try to push. And everybody's working hard. Everybody's skating hard. And I'm sure the guys in Europe are skating hard too. They're preparing. So, the sooner we can all get together, the better, obviously. But obviously, there needs to be some stuff figured out for some guys. But hopefully we can all get back together soon.
Adam Vingan, you are Roman, good to go.
Sorry. Roman, how many of your teammates are still in Nashville and are participating in these workouts?
I think we're like there's like 10 guys in Nashville, probably. Okay. Probably around 10 guys.
Is that all, Adam?
Yeah,
you're good.
Okay,
thanks. A couple season ticket citizen questions from those watching on Facebook Live. This from Candy Jennings. How are Kingsley and Bella holding up?
Hi, Candy. They miss you. I mean, Candy's our dog sitter. She's awesome. And Kings and Bella are good, and they miss you a lot, so they can't wait to see you.
This is from Amy McDonald Davis. What are your thoughts on possibly winning the Norris Trophy?
I always said winning the Norris Trophy is definitely a dream of mine. And obviously, there's so many guys who had an unbelievable year. John Carlson, Hedman, Gretchen, so many good defensemen. But it's definitely an honor for me to be in the conversation. But like I said, it's definitely a dream of mine to win a Norris Trophy someday.